Well, I'm glad to see you, too. The horizon is looking wider open. All you got to get is good. Well, let me put it a little more mildly. I'm afraid I might have frightened you there. All you've got to get is perfect. That's all. This is what? This is 9th July? All right. 9 July, AD 13, St. Hill Special Briefing Course. Well, this is the place you've been coming to the last few trillion years. That's right. That's right. Been heading down the track right for the St. Hill Special Briefing Course. Last time you were on that pole, you said there must be some place. And here you are. And it's my job to make something vaguely resembling a successful auditor and make it possible for that auditor to do a good job of clearing up the track and straightening up. And if we hadn't waited so long, we'd find it much easier. Quantitative proposition. If we just hadn't waited quite so long, we'd find it much easier. But the state of civilizations, the general combat that has occurred here and there and every place, is rather put things in abeyance. I can't imagine us doing anything practical in the middle of the Roman civilization, can you? And it's about the only psychotherapy they had in medieval times was the rack, or the lead boot. And general attitudes have been pretty poor. Furthermore, I don't think any of us have been brought to a point that we realized we had failed. And there hadn't been a failure. That's sometimes necessary for somebody to do something about something. And what we're doing, actually, so you won't be in the dark, is we're closing out a very long cycle of a long losing cycle, tremendous length of the OT, the cycle of loss of the OT. And a being now had come to a point where he believed, and couldn't do otherwise, the only safe place to be was in one of these meat-body civilizations, complete with airplanes, and that was the more or less winning side of the ledger, and there was no real possibility of being free of that economic duress, these two-bit games, these accelerated aberrative conditions as they march forward. There was no going and sitting on a mountaintop quietly for a few thousand years and catching your breath. The fight had been lost, in other words. In other words, a strata and quality and character of life had been lost. That is a defeat. You don't see any OTs walking around right now. Well, it's very peculiar that they reach almost to modern times. Almost to modern times. As you audit PCs, you'll be quite surprised now and then to find one that was OT 500 years ago. You look on this normally as something that occurred on the very, very far back track, something that occurred in the dimmest beginnings of history. But in actual fact, this is not true at all. These reach right up practically to present time, but losing all the way. There was no method of retaining and maintaining a stability. The condition of OT in this universe became looked upon as highly dangerous and highly unstable. You could stand around an airfield batting the airplanes down as fast as they rose, you know, and so they couldn't service theta traps and all this sort of thing, and walking all over the buildings and that sort of thing, and the next thing you know, a sleep light was going, and somebody was saying, sleep, 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 create, be solid. And it was a losing war, and very interestingly, losing war, because it was lost by the most powerful. That's what's peculiar about this war. Any one of you within relatively few hundred trillion years probably could have taken this planet and touched the North Pole lightly, and that would have been that. You'd probably even show me the proper stance you would use to slow a planet down. As well as to take one, throw it out into the freezing dark, and put it back on its orbit again without any meat bodies to clutter it up. Interesting study. How do you knock off all life on a planet but trees and plants? Just how do you pull an air cover? Well, these are studies of the greatest magnitude. The greatest magnitude possible of force. There has not been any force wanting at all. And eventually here you sit, and what are you doing here? Well, what you're doing here is you're in a meat body. You see the airplanes flying around overhead. And you realize that the continuous association with a meat body is just a continuous concatenation of collecting engrams like mad and keying in things like crazy, and that it's the downward spiral with accelerated jets behind it. What made that condition? How come this took place? Well, all battles are won by a combination of two elements. And these are force and intelligence. And given enough force, of course, there is no opposing side. Everybody hopes. The United States in World War II eventually got up to the idea of a small task force had to practically raise the level of water of the Pacific Ocean before they would make an attack. Tremendous, tremendous force, tremendous force. And of course, you take something like an atomic bomb that can obliterate an entire country. That is tremendous, tremendous force. And it succeeds in short-term wins. Short-term wins. And that is all you ever get from tremendous force is a short-term win. Never a long-term win. Never. The long-term win is achieved by a balance between force and intelligence. Now, intelligence alone in active action is not enough. The wise men of Tibet were just a few years ago driven out of their mountain fortresses by the dumbest infantrymen the world has known for some time. Isn't that interesting? They were infinitely wise, and their infinite wisdom brought them total defeat. So when you take these two elements, if you're sometime trying to solve the problem of whether you did right or you did wrong, take these two elements and look them over in relationship to what you did. And you'll find out that there is an imbalance in any defeat. It was an imbalance of intelligence and force. These two things were out of gear. You're either using all force and practically grasshopper intelligence, or you're using monumental intelligence and saying, God will protect me, forgetting at the same time that you were the only God around to do any protecting. It's sort of pathetic, this OT sitting down on the Vatican steps saying, God will protect me, when he may very well have started the whole myth. Where does he think he still is? Now, all of your losses were contributed to by these two elements out of balance. And any coordinated civilization plowing forward, using technology, combining that technology with force, keeping some sort of balance between these two things, can make a monkey out of an OT. Literally. There was an implant four galaxies over that taught you came from apes. Darwin. That's the whole of the Darwinian theory is implanted there in the course of about a day. Everybody bought it. You know, you come up through the mollusk and sloth and ape and all this sort of thing. There's not a damn word of truth in it. Nothing to do with it. You want to know what happened to these intermediate forms? Well, Thetans have different tastes. And they're fads of one kind or another. And some OT, he sort of liked this idea of cavemen society. And he get these huge jaws, you see, and hairy bodies, women being hauled around by the hair of their head. All that sort of thing. It's rather barbaric taste, but exotic, you know? Exotic. You get a whole civilization moving forward like this. You want to call it a civilization, you know? You want to know about the evolution of man from treetop to cave? Well, there's one form of that civilization in treetops, and there's another form in caves. There's no evolution between the two. Although you can draw these things very carefully. It all depends who was here and who was putting the bodies in the place. That's your evolution. Therefore, these things would baffle an archaeologist if he suddenly started comparing it all, and if the carbon atom deterioration factor had anything to do with time, which it doesn't. I'm watching this with the greatest of interest, how they have made up some kind of an artificial winging gimmick by which they can measure a non-existent time. And this planet, you see, is brand new, and it's only a few million years old. You know, that's a lie, you know. That's a lie. I used to run the biological survey in here 612 million years ago. And I get reports on this place. That was the style then. And they start digging these things up and looking for this and that. The deterioration of matter is not as fast as they think it is. Nowhere near as fast as they think it is. You can sit for a trillion years and watch the ebb and flow of seas and geological formations and various things happening, one kind or another. And when you scan through it very rapidly, why, there's a sea, there's a desert, there's a sea, there's a desert, there's a mountain range, you see? There's a canyon that goes through the mountain range. Now, there's no canyon going through the mountain range. The idea. Flick, 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 flick. But that matter is still there, and it's still the same sand. We haven't got a deterioration of matter and vanishments of suns. And these suns up here have been burning since, wow. I know they've been burning, to my own personal knowledge. They've been burning for the last 200 trillion, the existing collection of suns in this immediate vicinity. 200 trillion years is looked upon as a fantastic length of time. I remember in grade school in this lifetime, they used to teach us that the sun was full of hydrogen, and sooner or later the hydrogen would burn out and the sun would go out. Well, this thing about the sun going out is just a way to scare kids to get them to go to sleep. It's a lot of nonsense. They say, well, look over there. There's a sun that did go out. No, it was never lit. Or whoever made it got distracted that day, or was working on union hours or something. He just never finished it. He went off to pick up a new bank of Magellanic radioactive particles to throw at it and ignite it, and got distracted by a butterfly or something, you know, and never came back and turned on. These things don't go out. We're looking at a tremendous number of misconceptions, and we're looking at a vast number of unintelligences. These are pure stupidities. But these stupidities themselves form a kind of trap, and they're intelligent in their application in cohesing a society. If everybody remains ignorant of the society, nobody can get out of it, can't they? So there's nothing left for them but to cooperate somehow or another, or keep that society going one way or the other. So ignorance itself is used as an intelligent mechanism of entrapment. And to this is added force, and you get all sorts of odd combinations. So we have a sort of a medium structure floating along through this particular universe. And that medium structure is a balance of intelligence, if very warped intelligence, and a balance of mediocre forces. And these two are sort of a mean level, and they make these meat body societies and the automobile and the airplane, and they get up as high as the spaceship, and they don't progress any further than that. They go right to there, and that's it. If they progress much further than that, they disintegrate. And if they fail to progress at all, they disintegrate. And you've got various factors influencing it. But the societies repeat themselves over and over continuously. You have Roman societies and medieval societies and Elizabethan England societies and these pattern societies. Thetans get on a kick of one way or the other and they build these things up. There's Arabian societies. I was on a kick on Arabian societies one time or another. Never build anything without minarets and turbans, you know. You got to have the minarets, turbans, and harems. And you got it all set, you see. Oh, marvelous. And those things appear in sequence, or they just one sits there and lasts for a long time. But beware of a planet in which there's as much progress as you find this particular planet. This planet has gone through the phase of the prop aircraft in something like 25, 30 years. It's gone all the way through the era of locomotives until they're now in a terrible decline. Various forces are at work on this particular planet which are unusual in the extreme. They are very unusual. And that makes this planet very resty. One of the reasons for this, and I won't say it's the only reason for this, but the only reason I can lay my hands on at the moment, is this planet has been used as a dumping ground. If you'll find the Sun 12 is very distant, it's way out on the rim of a galaxy, and it's very handy to other galaxies, and it's very handy to the center of this galaxy. Nothing against anyone's character, and it's nothing really that anybody did. He just happened to get picked up in that scoop that day, and that was it. And it's been used as dumping ground, right? A consistent, continual dumping ground is being used as a dumping ground right up to this minute. Now, this, of course, gives you a very heterogeneous type of society. You have enormous elements of one kind or another, all of them running relatively uncontrolled. There is no master hand guiding all this, but everybody feels that there must be a master hand guiding all this because there's so much trouble. No. When a master hand is guiding things, there isn't any trouble. Things are calm. It's only when the master hand doesn't guide things that there is trouble. And, for instance, a society normally has some thetan around someplace, and he's kicking some mock-ups together one way or the other, and he's kind of figuring on things, and he's playing a game one way or the other, and it keeps going for a long time, and he gives it some indifferent attention. It never changes. He doesn't see any reason to change it particularly. Some other Thetan comes along, and he says, well, we'll have a fight. So he makes up some mock-ups, and he makes up some diseases to feed into the mock-ups that the Thetan has already mocked up, and so on. They get these two in collision one way or the other, and they have some wars and battles and so forth. It's rather mildly interesting, and they don't pay too much attention to it. Eventually, they both go off and forget about it, and the whole thing goes to pieces. That's the normal, crudest look. You could say they're very very dedicated, earnest, severe looks, but I'm afraid the attitude has been quite comparable to a child making up a little play town. The attitude quite similar to that, meat bodies and mock-ups. Well, when you take bodies which have been mocked up, and Thetans who have been indoctrinated in very definite lines to fight, to do this, to have certain types of societies, to do this, to do that, to do the other thing, and then they get scooped up from this galaxy and that system and this star and here and there and the other place and are dumped in on one system as unwanted merchandise. You have these tremendous impulses which are at work one against another, and it works up a lot of heat of friction. You have such a society here at this particular time. This society belongs nominally to the Espinal United Stars. This is Sun 12, and it is one little tiny pinpoint. Their whole title is Espinal United Stars. Espinal United Moons, Planets, and Asteroids. This part of the universe is ours. But this quarter of the universe is ours. It translates better. This quarter of the universe is ours. And it's so much quarter of the universe, and this is so lost in the middle of it, that there's been no command post occupied for this system now since 1150 A.D., at the time when a group on Mars was finally abolished and vanished and so forth, and nobody took any interest in this system. This system has been running wild since that time. You notice at that time we had a sudden resurgence in, quote, science. We had a sudden resurgence in this, that, or the other thing. It became an uncontrolled civilization. And since that time has been used, and was used before this, of course, consistently as a dumping ground, because nobody pays any attention to it. You don't have scout ships coming out to meet your transport that is dumping ice cubes in the Pacific Ocean, you see. It's a very handy place. It's like the city garbage dump with no cop to tell you you can't dump there. See? And there's nobody alert. There's nobody doing anything on this planet to debar this sort of thing. And it's quite interesting that you have represented here samples of many societies in many times and places and impulses which are quite fantastic. Probably the most basic impulse on the planet is simply the basic impulse of Satan's, who have been reduced to more or less a meat body level, which is total cooperation with one another, total, as you see in the communist thing, as you see in democracy. We are all equal. We are all equal. There must be no personalities of any kind. The cult of the personality must be banished. What we really are is equal. They've sort of come back to this because that is a common denominator of their indoctrination. They are indoctrinated to the idea that they have teammates. And from this, you see, you get this other equality factor. You might not agree with that particularly, but I'm just giving you some kind of a sketch here of the things as they are. Now, why did you arrive in the condition you're in? This is all this leads up to. It wasn't actually that of anything specific that you did. Yes, you have overts. Yes, these overts combined into certain motivators being more forceful upon you than otherwise. But even if you hadn't had overts, you still would have gotten the motivators. You would have dreamed up something as an overt, don't you think? The oddity here is simply that if all this has happened to you and you've been punished, then you must have been punished for some reason. So you're still trying to be reasonable and intelligent about it, and this doesn't happen to be true at all. The only reasons you were ever punished was for being you, for being powerful, and for not being quite intelligent enough. And that's the only reasons you were ever done. The exact crimes were to be there and to communicate. Those were the two crimes. Now, what happens? What happens? You can look way back on the backtrack, and you can find that some OT came along and decided that he put together a civilization of some kind or another. Figured it all out to the last notch, you know, and had total curbstones and the hairdo and everything else. He had this perfect, you see. And some other Thetan came along and started chipping away at him or something like this, or started talking to him, or started putting up mock-ups on the other side of the planet. So this would go on, and to get even with the other Thetan who was attacking his pet society, something like this, he would indoctrinate his pet society in how to trap a big Thetan. So this became the most accomplished skill that a meat-body society has. How to trap a spirit. No OT was so ever out of his mind as to depend upon any of his men or troops to untrap him. He never indoctrinated them to do that, because the time he was doing this, he never thought he would be caught. I consider this as singularly unintelligent. For instance, Frankie the Limper over there during the 30s, he wrote out a big check. He only thought in terms of billions and things, and he wrote out this $3 billion check, and he handed it over, and he says, build an atom bomb, and there you are, and wipe out cities, so on. Well, a knucklehead, he had Congress under his thumb, he had everything under his thumb. It was all set and roaring to go. He could have written out another check, $3 billion, given it to another group and said, build a defense for an atom bomb. Did you notice he didn't do that? See what I mean? He said, build an atom bomb. Here's $3 billion. He didn't say at the same time, here's $3 billion. Build a defense for an atom bomb. So you lay into a meat body society the skill to trap a thetan. Why don't you teach them how to free one? It isn't this universe. It isn't that you have atoms. It isn't that this has happened and that happened and the other happened. Or that you weren't right thinking and didn't join the OT's YMCA when you had a chance. That's all irresponsible thinking. You were just knuckleheaded. I mean, let's face it. He had unlimited force, but there was not as much intelligence invested as there was force invested. Now, you say it's a very intelligent thing to be able to put together an atom, be able to make matter, be able to make almost ever-burning radioactive fire for suns and all this sort of thing, to be able to erect tremendous space, to be able to figure out the biological cell perpetuation on the second dynamic, all of this is seeds, how do you make them, all that. So this is terribly complex. You had to figure out how to make the various things, the various enzymes and things like that that cells convert to become this. Very complicated. Very. Although you say, all right, that's a fantastic amount of intelligence, the intelligence of doing things that is usually assigned on this planet to God. There's a film. Film shows you the vastness of the universe and the miraculous works of God in the greatest things and the smallest things and that sort of thing. Simply a tribute to the workings of an OT, nothing else. Not sacrilegious fact. Now, that you say, well, that's very intelligent. Very intelligent. Completely knuckleheaded. You never worked out how to unbuild anything. Get the unbalanced action. How do you pull a plug on this complicated made atom? How do you pull a plug on it? How do you say proton, negatron, nuncus? See, and it goes boom, ceases to exist. Well, the whole thing was an insistence on enduring matter that was to endure forever. Well, that's not smart. Eventually, some of that stuff was made into a theta pole. That's the pole you've been on. Confounded things last forever. You know, it's possible, I can tell you that it's possible to be trapped for over 13 and a half trillion years. That's interesting, isn't it? Well, all the technology of entrapment, my God, the technology of entrapment is just, vast catalog, I can tell you. Ways of trapping thetans and so on, just taking off the track, you know. Technology, ooh. You run into it, running the whole track. It's quite a technology. How do you fool a thetan? How do you make him curious? How do you do this? How do you do that? You know? How do you soften him up? How do you do all these things? Vast amount of work put in on this subject. And no work put in at all on how do you free one. Total technology of freeing one. You reach over on the trap and pull a guy off of it and throw him out in space to cool off. That requires a what? That requires an OT. What if there isn't any? That's an interesting question, isn't it? So here you had the atom bomb with no defense for the atom bomb, which was continuous matter and continuous technology of entrapment and teaching civilizations to entrap and so forth. On and on and on, endlessly. Teach, 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 force, force, force. More matter made, more endurance to the matter, more lasting qualities to the matter. Some space opera societies make any metal that appears here on this planet look pale. Even the society has worked on the refinement of elements to a point where, well, a spaceship, trying to dent a spaceship, it might have a almost paper-thin-looking hull. And the stuff sheds asteroids and so forth, little meteorites and space dust and so forth, just sheds them. The space wagon travels in the terms of the trillions of light years in a day. Einstein's nonsense is just some more of the ignorance by which you get trapped. You can't go faster than the speed of light. I don't know. I'm never in contest with a photon myself. The teleportation is a pipe dream, too. It's usually it's the way you mock something up here and then make it disappear there and then mock it up over there and say, see, I teleported it from here to here, see, without going through the air. It's marvelous, you see. Very clever, except it never happened. The reassembly of atoms at some distant place and that sort of thing, that's an OT skill. It can be done rather easily, but it's not the same atoms. So aside from vanishments of that particular character to carry out a stunt for teleportation and baffle everybody, the skill of making matter disappear and so forth has been grievously neglected. The technology of how do you free a Thetan has been grievously neglected. These are all neglected technologies. The failure to teach a meat body society equally to be able to free or to trap. That was just unintelligent. It was stupid. Leave out half of the equation. Now, if you ever want to see a society get into rich trouble, trouble that is just blooming in all directions and so forth, go on one of these all flows. Don't ever run the other side. Don't ever touch the other side. You see it in processing. You can make the guy flow, 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 flow. Actually, you run motivators just so long on somebody, he'll give you an over. Unless you prevent him actively from giving you an overt, you keep running outflow, outflow, outflow on somebody, and he eventually will jam. He won't run any further. You got to run some inflow for a while. That's all. You got to balance up these flows. Now that's quite important to you. It's quite important to you because that's where you sit, both as a being at this exact moment. And why your interest in the technology which is before you. And why, strangely enough, this technology is appearing, really, for the first time in this universe. It's impossible that everybody will tell you the technology is impossible. No, it isn't impossible. It's just totally neglected. They think it's impossible because they've outflowed the reverse technology. Now, it's very embarrassing. It isn't that it didn't cause societies trouble. It caused them lots of trouble. The Galactic Confederation right now is in trouble because of this. It has this problem on its front platter all the time. Galactic Confederation operates on a limited OT basis. Its hierarchy of command is that of a limited level of OT, and it goes down to the doll body as the ship captain and the post captain and that sort of thing. And that goes to down to the meat body, and it's one of the few civilizations which has ever endured over any great span of time, just for the reason that it uses a limited OT, a doll body, and a meat body, and works out the hierarchies of cooperation in that. And their space wagons are very stylized. I don't think they've changed in... Changed in 50 trillion years. They haven't moved a bolt. Every time you say you ought to increase your firepower or do something intelligent about it, and these things blow back every once in a while and wreck the ship, why don't you increase the thickness on those jets a little bit? Oh, well, we've done that before. They approve it, too. They take out an ancient file cabinet, you know, and here will be plans that were submitted, you know, trillions of years before by the most learned architects, and they built this at vast expense, and they tested it, and it crashed, you know. And the weariness with which they defend their no change is quite remarkable, but they do have change. They cannot maintain a no change. A society either goes up, even if only slowly, or goes down. It never stays completely static. And something for you to remember when you've got this society, you say, well, we've reached a state of perfection now. We're not going to change anything. We're not going to change a thing from here on out. Oh, how dangerous can you get? Because if you don't improve, you decline. There's no staying exactly that way. That's quite interesting, because the Galactic Confederation is up against a problem of great magnitude. It's run out of OTs. Their basic technology says that the problem of conquest, the problem of maintaining our position, the problem of maintaining our commitments, the problem of power and the cohesion of the Galactic Confederation does not depend on ships, does not depend on fuel, does not depend on size of armies, does not depend on organization, technical know-how, doesn't depend on any of these things. It's the availability of OTs to command units. And that is the limiting factor of how much and how broad and how big the Galactic Confederation can be. And this is taught. This is pounded into everybody's head. And not once in 80 trillion years has anybody ever said, well, if that is the case, why don't you repair some of your limited OTs and keep them patched up and up to snuff? Why don't you know something about it? They know this is a pressing problem, but they have no such technology. It doesn't exist. There's no technology like that. OTs get peculiar. They get fitful. They get moody. Remember one time about 12 trillion years ago, it was some comedian on a stage, vast theater, pulled a gag about create and that sort of thing and made a wisecrack of one kind or another. And O.T. had to be subdued. He was up in the box, alongside the royal box, and he had to be subdued one way or the other, but not till after he'd torn down all the curtains and knocked down a 400 or 500-ton chandelier on the assembled meat-body multitude. Why? They just keyed him in. What could they do about it? Turn a sleep light on him, tell him to get solid and take him down to the hospital. That was their total ability to put this boy back together again. I consider it fascinating. I know I was there. I was the guy they did it to. But the crux of the situation here, I'm not talking through my hat on this material, although it might sound very strange to some people. I think it would sound hauntingly horrifying to a great many people if they were to listen to it. They'd feel quite overwhelmed. They wouldn't understand it. They would be trying to say, well, it probably isn't true. He seems to be making sense, but we're not quite sure. And my reality on this is very bad, but it fills me full of slight chills. What's this somatic in the back of my neck, you know? All right, if the technology is that vital, of how do you untrap somebody? How do you push somebody back to battery after a horrifying experience? If it's that vital, why hasn't somebody worked on it? Basically, they're afraid of the technology. For instance, if I were to go back to the Galactic Confederation in any kind of a mood of punitive sneer, And they would listen raptly as I talked to them about gunnery. You know, you've got to improve the ability of a gun to penetrate the height of a spaceship. See, they've got some new data on this, you know. Listen, man, they all ears. And they would just listen with their tongues out where it came to anything that had to do with this straight of action. They would listen probably to main means of preventing blowbacks, or probably even shatter them and move them over on that particular point. Tips on political interference learned out amongst the colonies, you know, that kind of thing. Listen, man. And I'd say, well, also got a way to put OTs back together again. Brother, I would meet probably the greatest silence you could drop a space fleet into and it would just vanish. And it wouldn't be fear, and it wouldn't be ridicule, me being me. It'd be horror. Because they'd instantly think, how are we going to hold a society together? How do you maintain the strata of the society? How do you maintain this fixed organization which we have? If every janitor can be an OT. You realize that you say this is just going to be applied to OTs. That's all right if you kept it buttoned up. Ah, but the next thing you know, you're going to take sergeants amongst the doll body class. I can see it now. And those guys are going to start hauling people out of meat bodies. They're going to destroy this social organization which we have built up here with such care and which has gone so long. And they would say to me, Earl, you've gone too far. We know you took a course in scientific improvisation some years ago, but we never thought you would put it to this use. And then would assume a minor revolution of one kind or another, where some were all for it and some were all against it and that sort of thing, but there wouldn't be much of a fuss about it. But everybody would still be saying, keep it reasonable. Take it easy. You'd have to give them a political solution which was as great as the political threat. You cannot give them a technology without taking responsibility for the technology, or nobody'd listen to it. People on Earth here don't think that Scientology doesn't work. They've been trained, however, against the vectors of it. They've been trained to destroy, to set something up, a fixed status of something, and then work a destructive means with it, and to work out techniques of entrapment so people cannot leave certain social strata and economic strata of the society. This is the whole level of training. And you're not up against Pavlov, Freud, or any mental technology. You're up against the social structure of the organization in which we exist at this moment. And you pose a tremendous threat to that social structure. You could tear it to pieces. In two different ways. One, by the rehabilitation of tremendous power and force. That's one way. That's pretty easy. You make somebody OT, and he's good and mad on account of what they did to him in Chicago, and he pulls the air cover, and that's the end of this planet. Don't think it hasn't happened. Those mammoth that are up in the frozen tundra with quick frozen vegetables in their stomachs must have been reduced down to about 200 degrees minus in a split second. Because to freeze vegetables, they have to be frozen in something like 60 seconds for them to preserve it. And here, these millions of years later, the Explorers Club serves those things with fresh mammoth steak at its annual dinners. They serve them as vegetables. Deep freeze, quick freeze, they've been packed up there in the ice ever since. They're tropical. What are they doing under all that ice, man? Must have been done in 60 seconds. Can you think of any natural cataclysm that could take place in 60 seconds? They couldn't have been transported from point A to point B. Somebody was good and mad. They pulled the air cover and gave the planet a reverse spin. They changed its axes. Just like that. Bang, bang. It was just somebody got mad. That's all. Well, that is the most direct force that is posed to this civilization by any technology such as we have. That is a real factor. People don't even have to get mad. We just get together and say, well, I guess it's best for the greatest good, for the greatest number of dynamics, that this planet be de-air covered. That's it. Frozen vegetables. Well, now, then there must be a great a factor involved here in intelligence. That's just the use of total force, isn't it? All right, now if we add mix intelligence into this total force, what do we get? We get some other solution. We get a solution like the greatest good of the greatest number of dynamics. And that is an optimum solution, always. The greatest good with the greatest number of dynamics. In fact, that is the definition of an overt act. Most of you think an overt is harming something. Brother, that is the most unlimited piece of nonsense ever. Doing something damaging, destroying something. You think that is an overt act? No, that is not an overt act. It is sometimes an overt act. But that is just an unintelligent look at what an overt act is. Let me give you a very, very low-level thing. Baby keeps going over, turning on the gas jets, you'll see, on the stove. All right. What is the damage? They blow themselves up and kill themselves dead, knock themselves out, and mess up the whole house and spoil that. That's the end of that. If they're permitted to do this. So, if persuasion doesn't work, you paddle their britches. Well, that's damaging a child. You can't reason with the child, and you paddle his britches. Just hard enough to make them realize they mustn't turn on those gas jets. Now, that, of course, can unintelligently be carried too far. But you immediately have departed from the greatest good of the greatest number of dynamics. It's actually an overt not to spank the child in that particular characteristic. An overt act is flaunting the greatest good for the greatest number of dynamics. If you start working on the equation of the greatest bad for the greatest number of dynamics, you've got a real series of overts. Now, it's very hard to adjudicate something like this. It'd take a Solomon then to figure out what an overt act is. Well, that's why you're so puzzled. You never can quite figure out what an overt act is. Well, you'd have to look on it from the various angles, and you'd have to have usually more data than you have. To find the real overt acts was maliciously and viciously setting out to damage for no good reason some beings or people, or start a trend, or something of the sort. It was a lie or a piece of nonsense. You knew very well it was a lie and a piece of nonsense, and keep going anyhow. Sometimes you get an unintentional overt. I'll give you an overt that works out this way. Greatest good to the greatest number of dynamics. There was a very shabby theta hanging around, and there were some new theta traps that had been built in the neighborhood. Well, they wouldn't trigger. You know, I mean, they just weren't running all the time. They had to have a theta in them. So I took this guy and threw him in, intending to reach over and pull him out. Yeah, well, that was quite something. He sure made me guilty on this thing and so on. But that wouldn't really have amounted to much as an overt act. When I pulled him off the pole, the fact that I put a beam into the place activated the trap. It wasn't necessary to throw him in. All I had to do was kind of stick my finger down there, and it would have gone off automatically and fired itself straight on through. See? Now, he says, you're guilty, and you shouldn't have done this, and look how you ruined me, and all of this sort of thing, which wasn't the case. I could agree with him. Yes, it was an overt act. It was an omission on my part not to be able to predict the fact. I was stupid. I didn't realize it wasn't necessary to kick him off into that particular glade to activate the trap so we could find out what it was. Well, it wasn't necessary at all. In fact, that was a mean thing to do. And we never would have done that if he hadn't gotten on everybody's nerves. It was a mean thing to do. But then to find out that it was quite unnecessary. That made it an overt act. So an overt act can occur almost unintentionally by the realization that you haven't been very smart about it. An overt act is often realized after the fact by the realization that you could have done it some entirely different way that would have been much smarter. And then you get regret and so forth, and then you get an hung-up overt act. But somebody who sets out to do things which are definitely against the greatest good for the greatest number of dynamics wind up committing a lot of overts. And somebody who simply goes out here and battle and shoots somebody through the cocoa or throws a doll out the window as commander of the ship because the doll is starting a mutiny or something like this, those are not overt acts. They don't even classify. So. Yet they come under the heading of damaging something. They're not overt acts. It's not any specious figuring. You find out it works out. And when you hit a real overt on the track, that the PC is going, oh, my God, why did I do it? You'll find these other elements are present. A lot of elements. Now, it has a lot to do with sect checking. Your lack of success in sect checking is a misdefinition of the overt act. You're looking for something he did that was irresponsible or damaging or something like this. You're not looking for the very harmful action to the greatest number of dynamics. Somebody took a very completely wrong course on something. And do you know, you almost never find one in this lifetime. People haven't been big enough or tough enough in this lifetime to have committed one. Sometimes you see some Thetan bragging. See, some PC is bragging about all the overt acts he's committed. And you assess them out, and you find out he stepped on an ant, and he spanked a baby, and he betrayed a girl, and was asking to be betrayed. And you assess this whole thing out, and you can't find any overt acts, you see. He just wasn't tough enough, but he's sort of bragging about these tremendous overt acts he's committed. You'll find this combination. Actually, he hasn't committed an overt act for probably a long time. You run off a long chain of engrams in 3R, and all of a sudden one of these overt acts will suddenly show up. Bang! In a very strategic locale, it meant a great deal to one and all in all directions. And you'll see that thing all grouped up and that thing followed by a chain of motivators like mad. And if that overt hadn't been present, those motivators might never have followed at all. Then you'll know what an overt act is. You can analyze it and you'll find out it's the greatest good for the greatest number of dynamics was violated. Wittingly or unwittingly was violated. Either because the guy was a complete knucklehead at the time or just because he'd gone clean vicious. This is somebody that is an American citizen, has been American for a long time, he hadn't got anything else, and all of a sudden hands everything out, lock, stock, and barrel, the code books and so forth to the Russians, well knowing that the Russians will also be destroyed when they destroy America. Well, you say, well, that's very interesting. You'll once in a while get a Thetan smelling around the edges and processing, thinking he's committed something like this. And he'll take upon his shoulders far more than he did commit. He was the unwitting cause of a whole concatenation of destruction, somehow or another. And sometimes his feeling for that will cause a dub, and he will hold himself responsible for the confoundedest things. You say, well, it's dub, but he'll hold himself responsible. Oh, God, he's the fellow who did this and did that, and
so forth. But you notice as you run these, his case doesn't get any better. You haven't got the real Oberg, but there is one there. There is one there. There's a real rough one lying back there someplace. He's just trying to run it out, but he can't confront it or come up to it. So. And running out a bunch of false ones isn't going to get the real one. Now, what's this all amount to? The intelligent use of intelligence and force. You got to have force and you got to have intelligence. If you don't have these two things, you haven't got anything. And imbalances along that line have occurred over such a long period of time that we find ourselves reduced to a rather static civilization. And the free, powerful being at war with the organized society as an adventure and an action can be looked upon as a lost war. You've lost. You're here, aren't you? You got a meat body, haven't you? So, you might say with this point that a phase, not of us, but a phase of this universe has taken place and has ended. The phase of the free being. And the free being lost. And he lost to solid, unintelligent, but mediumly lying, not totally forceful, but not unforceful, mean-level societies. He lost. Just a few trillion years ago, the whole confounded place was all blown up. The suns were disorganized, planets all thrown to hell, and everything else. Well, little guys with the airplanes showed up again. They still could put up theta traps for this boy. Well, that was because war had occurred, war of magnitude. And you could work out how this has been occurring and over the long period of time that has been occurring. But here you are. Here you are. Your fight as a free being of total force and power and so forth has finally ended. And that fight in this universe is ended. It's no more. It's over. Done. That cycle is lost. But another cycle opens up. An old mystic friend of mine say, when a wooden door closes, an iron door opens. It's been a very unlovely, and to a large degree, very unpleasant phase over this vast and long period of time. A free being losing more and more to guile and treachery, losing more and more to medium force and organization in spite of his ability to knock everything kicking. He's nevertheless lost. What sort of a society opens up toward the future? Well, in the first place, you won't have that kind of free being again. You will never be the same as you were. You can't be the same as you were because you are now an experienced you. Oh, yes, you can be as strong as you ever were. But I don't think you could ever be that stupid again. You see, you come out at the other end of the cornucopia knowing what the score is. Rather, or you probably never before had any political or social contact internally to many of these meat body societies. You've been in and out of them time to time, but you've never taken a look at them with a worm's eye view in one of these things to amount to anything. You realize that they have sociological frailties. They have political frailties of one kind or another. And that the total destruction of them amounts to nothing because guys totally dedicated to starting up another one and so forth appear elsewhere and do start up another one. You always get this phenomenon occurring. They cannot be obliterated. And I don't think you'll ever again just try to just obliterate because we've learned it can't be done. But they can be managed. They can be handled. Takes intelligence and force. They can be managed, they can be handled. They can be helped, and they can be thrown on a reverse vector. Now we say, what does this mean for the future? Does this mean that there will be no more free beings? Oh, I'd hate to think of that, man. I reserve my right to go sit on a mountaintop for a few trillennia and take a long breath. You understand? Dick Vass's last 13 years. Anyway. The point I'm making here is the use of intelligence with force can maintain a freedom of action and so on without racking up a new bank, without racking up new overts, without the war again turning entirely against one. There's never been a lasting or intelligent society of free beings. You say, how could you have a society of free beings? Well, in the first place, you can't do without a society of free beings. That is to say, it's all very well for everybody to be totally on his own, but look where this gets everybody. It gets everybody downscale in the long run so that it doesn't work. And if you mean a totally irresponsible freedom, if that's the definition of freedom, total irresponsibility all up and down the line, well, you're not talking about freedom. You're talking about catastrophe. What it takes is know-how and force. Not know-how on how to play the force. You probably know how to mock up a body. You probably know how to do this, that, the other thing. These tricks are pretty easy. That isn't the missing intelligence. The missing intelligence is a balanced technology. If you know how to enslave people, everybody knows how to enslave people, then they equally should know how to free people. If they are going to make up matter, and so forth, well, fine. Let's not be quite so insistent on the matter being totally indestructible. And let's also specialize in being able to as-is matter as easily as we make it. In other words, let's bring the thing back into a little bit better balance. When these meat-body societies start whizzing along, well, don't just disorganize the whole thing like stirring into an anthill. That's a silly thing to do. Why? Why is it silly? Well, the laws of life are against it. These ants kicking the bucket go over and make a society over there. Look, while they're there in the anthill, you still got them. You can do something with them, you understand? But every time you just totally disperse them, boom, you see, oh, they're just going to make another anthill, and it's going to be mad as hell at anything like you, you see? So the war is begun. Right there. Oh, that the universe can do a lot of growing up. It can do a lot of growing up. At this end of the line, we have technology. We have technology that can make an OT. Technology has to be very skillfully applied. That's mostly because everybody is skidded so low. They're rough to handle as cases. We needn't have let it go this long, but it had to go this long because no opportunity offered itself. Now, the war of everybody on his own, everybody responsible, everybody total force, and everybody with the brains of a peanut, that cycle is ended. That cycle's got to be ended. It's not because I say it'll be ended, because you'll think twice before you start it rolling again. No, I think as free beings, any freedom to be maintained has to be maintained. Freedom is something you work at, and freedom is something you work at intelligently. If you think you're going to stay clear or OT simply by never destroying anything again, you're nuts. You're going to destroy lots of things, time to time, and so forth. How do you build up a building unless you take down the building that is sitting in the place where you're going to put up the building? You can't do it, you see. Well, there's always inevitably a bit of destruction. And let me assure you that total mental treatment of criminals in a society doesn't work. The only way to handle a criminal is to give him mental treatment. You never do anything but give him mental treatment.
Well, you needn't hang him or burn him or do other things of this particular character, but just turn him over to the psychiatrist as his total punishment, who turn him loose in 3 days gives you nothing but a criminal society. You got your hands on the boy. Why don't you use it? There are limited technologies for straightening the kinks out in somebody without making an OT out of him. There's a lot of technology lying around one way or the other. But for sure, if somebody robbed a store, I'd be very likely to tell him, well, as soon as you can pay the storekeeper for his loss of goods and trouble, well, you can go free, boy. You know, there's compensation. You see, freedom without barriers of any kind whatsoever is an unsupportable freedom. First place, there's nothing for you to push against. Nothing to be free of. So it makes a very interesting problem. It's an interesting philosophic problem, which I'm not in this lecture in any way intending to solve for you. I'm just pointing out that a long cycle of this universe has come to an end. Not because you're here particularly. It happens to be at an end all over. The free, ferocious being versus the meat body society. That's over. And the battle was lost. And that free being doesn't exist anymore. All right. So, at this point of the line, we're shifting gears on the whole game of the universe. That's an adventurous thing to do. This is a noteworthy time. And the only way we're doing it is quite simply, we're just putting some intelligence along with the force. We've got the know-how and the technology necessary to handle the problem, which has never before been handled. Indoctrination and how to make things that always last forever, inevitably, and never go away, and no indoctrination in making things disappear painlessly and without chaos. These two points are singularly unintelligent. And I just thought I had better say something about them. Point them out, and so on with regard to this. From here on out, you will find that your attitude toward a being who is getting up in power and who's acting loopy as the devil will very definitely be different than it was before. You normally would say to that bird, well, just get away from here and don't bother us anymore. I rather think sometime in the future you say, hey, you, well, I'm reminded of an engram I ran out of my PC. She saw this black Thetan sitting there, and she decided to do something for him and help him. So she poured him all over with white energy to wash off all the black energy, and that didn't work, and he wouldn't get white, and she got very mad and stamped him into the ground. Now, that's that's a processing lose, and that wasn't my engram to give you, but I think my PC will forgive me. But that's an exasperation, isn't it? Satan has always had the impulse to help, but not the technology to do so. This is all highly esoteric and theoretical. But the composition of what is an overt act contains omission, seldom looked at. It's omission not to do things for the greatest good or the greatest number of dynamic. That becomes an overt act. And one cannot maintain his freedom in the face of an overt act of that magnitude. All intelligence and force are not good by a long ways, but it requires a combination of force and intelligence to continue any position or status in this universe. It requires both of them. Unbalanced, why, it all goes to pieces. Total force without intelligence, total intelligence without force are equally myths. They do not make for anything but disaster. When you're getting up along the line, you will ask yourself these things, and you will say, well, now, does this person deserve to be free? Do I dare push this person? He's been a bad boy. Do I dare push him any closer to OT? You find out, oddly enough, that you can't push him any closer to OT than he can accept the definition of an overt and his responsibility. It's a very limiting factor. Now, technologically, aside from your skill in doing a very few things and doing them very well, I know now of no other barrier to OT. I don't know of any barrier. Hence, I'm talking about this subject to you. Not on the basis of, what you ought to do is get yourself all freed up and take the top off the Empire State Building or pick your teeth with the Keister Building. I'm not talking to you along that line whatsoever. I'm talking to you quite in another way now. The goal is quite assured. The goal is quite assured on the exact technology which you are using at this moment, your skilled application and intelligent application of it, will make you arrive there. Some be quite a time on the way, and some will be a shorter time on the way, and so forth. That's all taken for granted. Some are worse off than others, and so forth. That's taken for granted. When you finally get down to the final action of OT, well, just what are you making? This will occupy your minds in the very near future. What is the end product of all this? And if I could tell you that, yes, each person, just irresponsibly by all of us, is just let free to go and wander and do anything he pleases, any place, not that we would discipline him particularly, but just let free to go any place and do anything he wants, and it's all up to him, and that sort of thing. And I'm telling you that this is a short-sighted irresponsibility which will, again, almost immediately wind us up in the soup. We have to continue to take our responsibility for our fellows. We have to go on with that. And we can't continue to exist on an irresponsible line of just forgetting and abandoning everybody and anybody and leave them on the theta pole. So what? You know, it's this kind of an attitude, because that kind of an attitude breeds for each one of us entrapment in the long run. We have to learn to take care of our own, because we will have made that own with our own lily-white e-meters. Thank you very much.